Right, thank you very much. I'm Sang Yun Ma from the Catholic University of Korea. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this very interesting dialogue. And personally, the middle power diplomacy is a kind of new topic to me, but probably and potentially very interesting. I agree with the idea that having many friends in the world is great for every country. But still, I have some skepticism and questions related to the idea of middle power diplomacy. I will start with the definitional issues first. Middle power, what are the requirements for middle power? Which country belongs to the category of middle power? There seems to be, well, at least three criteria to categorize those powers into the middle. The first thing, probably most importantly, is the level of power, whether it is large resources to wield in the international relations or small one. And the second one is about the ways of exercising the power they have, whether it's going to be a smart one or soft one and hard power. Well, the ways of exercising it, how to smartly exercise his power, I think is also related to the category, the second category. The third one, which is quite problematic to me, is the purpose of power. Values? Well, we talked about values pretty much in the previous presentations. The middle power seems to be in like-mindedness, and like-mindedness, they are somehow tend to contribute to the issues of common goods in the global society. But the problem, the question arises here, I think, because. There's no logical connectedness between the level of power on the one hand and the purpose of power, values on the other hand. Whether a middle power, a country in the middle power position is supposed to act as a global Samaritan? That's one of the questions that I have. That question actually leads to the second one. Why MGTA? Why MGTA? The five countries are quite active, as already is presented in the previous presentation. They are quite active in their own gatherings and trying to promote their meetings and dialogues and try to expand it. But what do they really have in common? And that might be answered already, but I can formulate the question somewhat differently. Was that formation was by chance or by design? If there was a design, what kind of design was behind it? That is my second question. This, I think, also related to the discussions about the background or context against which the middle power dialogue or middle power discourse arises. If I just confine to discussion about the Korea's case, I think one of the important contexts is that the Korea's growing in ambition. Korea has been experiencing rapid growth in its own economic and political and military capabilities. So grows the global ambitions. Korea has been very long time a small country, which is often called a shrimp among the big whales. And now Korea is quite proud of being at least a dolphin among the big countries. And with the growth of that kind of ambition, I think Koreans wants to make consider itself as a middle power rather than a small country at all. But you know, middle, well, the being in the middle, or the in Korean war, Jung, well, the Chinese Jung, right, means I think dual implications. Being in the middle, simply, but well, Chung or Jung, in the Chinese character actually means in the center. Does that really, well, Korea wants to be in the middle, or it wants to be in the center? That's, I think, a kind of a confusion, or not really exposed very clearly yet. And secondly, there's, I think, not really mentioned in the previous discussions, is the global context against which middle power discourse came up to be much highlighted. Dr. Breen already mentioned that the changing nature of diplomacy in the globalized world, but it is not really mentioned that the more power politics, the changes in the global power politics, the passing of the American hegemony, declining process of American strategy, hegemonic position in the world, I think is one of the fundamental conditions in which middle power roles are somehow given. And the passing of the Cold War, even before that, was also a very much important condition. I don't think without that kind of condition, without American consent to give more room for roles of slightly lesser powers, I think middle powers cannot do anything. So, given these two somehow skeptical questions and comments, my third question is, what is middle power diplomacy for? Okay. Middle power discourse and middle power diplomacy can contribute many, pressing issues in the global society now. Environmental issues, sustainable development, which are already presented quite nicely by Dr. Lee. But my concern and my question is, in the previous two sessions, we've talked about the security, hard security environment in Asia Pacific, and we also talked about North Korea questions in the Korean Peninsula. I wonder if middle power diplomacy is contributing to that, solving those questions and problems. If there's a room or there's a way to contribute to the resolving those questions, what are they for? So, I wonder, and the question, I do not hope for that, but I hope our middle power diplomacy really works well for the common, the betterment of the middle power themselves and the global interests. But at the same time, I come to ask a question. Is middle power diplomacy, I don't know, but in case of Korea, is only for less contentious issues, or is that really for solving more serious issues, more immediate dangers, to solve the immediate dangers? I do hope that middle power diplomacy can find a way to contribute to this resolvement of the more immediate concerns, such as rise of China and the changing dynamics of security relations in the Asia Pacific, and also to the resolvement of the North Korea's issues. Thank you very much.